Time you're ready.
Hi, I'm Yasuyu Tokumoto from Texas A&M University. Today, I'm going to talk about the salt-water balance approach to quantify the contributions of shallow and deep roots of the invasive species on the Edward Plateau in Texas. Because of the invasive species, groundwater leachage might be reduced, so I'm trying to figure out where the invasive species is getting the water sources. On the Edwards Plateau in Texas, woody plants, especially ash juniper and mesquite, are invading into grassland. You might think it sounds pretty good because green is growing and potentially they can capture the carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. But the problem is they are suspected of reducing groundwater leachage. So that's going to be the drinking water for the people living in San Antonio and Austin, so around here. And then to prevent it, the Texas government try to cut down the trees. soil on the Edwards Plateau is usually thin, as you can see. The picture is describing limestone restricted vertical root growth. So this kind of information led me to this question. Are woody plants really water thieves? According to recent study by Dr. Hallman, 2009, he suggested the water sources for the invasive species are very shallow and quickly depleted. And Dr. Schwenning, 2008, had also same conclusion using the isotope measurement. So based on the result, my hypothesis of this study is the shallow roots provide the most of water consumed by woody plants on the Edwards Plateau. To verify this hypothesis, the moisture content profile would be important. However, that kind of study to monitor the soil moisture in rocky soil is still limited, and there are still unknown things about it. So my objective of this research is to quantify the contribution of shallow and deep roots on the Edward Plateau. And what I did was to compare the temporal change in soil moisture content at the different depths for the shallow and rocky soil layer. To monitor this is the experimental site, and it's located in Freeman Ranch. It's 25 miles away from here, and it's located on the Edward Aquifer Recharge Zone. And this is a site, it's a savanna site with 50% woody cover. And as you can see, there is a ash juniper, it's a invasive species. And this is also invasive species, honey mesquite. Basically, these three are 5 meter tall in my research grid. And for the soil information at my research site, I'm going to show you the photo of the soil profile. The soil is categorized as a rumble gravelly clay. There's a thin soil layer in the top 20 centimeter. And regarding rocky soil layer, the rocky soil is a 50% rock and 50% soil. And I didn't find the bedrock down to the 1.6 meter at my research site. This is the methodology. To measure the soil moisture content, I use the two methods, TDR method and neutron thermalization. TDR probes were installed in the top 15 centimeters to measure the soil moisture content in shallow soil. Regarding to neutron probe measurements, the access tube inserted to a depth of 1.6 meters to monitor the soil moisture content in the rocky soil layer. The interval was 20 centimeters. And the neutron access tube and TDR probes were installed in the 25-25 meter grid. This is the experimental grid I created. Yellow line shows the grid line, 25 meter by 25 meter, and the node spacing is 5 meter. And at the each grid point, I install the neutron access tube and the TDR probes. So I use 36 tubes and probes. And I also measure the location of trees of the ash juniper and mesquite in the my research mental grid. And near the grid, the flux tower was constructed to measure the evapotranspiration, ETEC, using the eddy covariance method. And the difference between the tower and the experimental grid was around 66 meters. And the tower height was approximately 10 meters. And in this presentation, I'm going to talk about the result from July through the September 2009. This is the result of temporal change in water content in shallow soil layer. This is the data from TDR method. And in July and August 2009, it was extremely dry in Texas. The total rainfall was 31 millimeter over 2 months. In September, there are several rainfall events. After the rainfall events, the water content increases, so responds well. And then in the September, I also see the spikes. And using the water content change from time to time, I calculated the difference of water content. And using the delta theta, I calculated the water loss from the shallow soil layer to the atmosphere. And I also calculated the cumulative water loss based on the measurement data. This green light shows the cumulative water loss from the TDR measurement. And in this graph, I also plot the evapotranspiration from the eddy covariance method. And as you can see, cumulative ETEC from eddy covariance was significantly higher than ETWV. This is water comes from the shallow soil layer. And the comparison with ETEC indicated that 32% of the water comes from the shallow soil layer. And the major discussion point is the difference between ETEC and ETWB. This implies the amount of water coming from the below 15 centimeters. And to show the moisture profile below the 50 centimeter, I'm going to show the data, soil moisture profile from soil surface to 1.6 meter from July 1st to the August 19th. And in this case, I picked up the two locations near the mesquite and the ash juniper. And what I want to mention here is above the 0.6 or 0.8 millimeter, the water content slightly changes. However, the deeper soil profile, there's no significant change. And I also take the average of ETEC of the entire glade, so 25 meter glade. It was about 24 millimeter. That was about 29% of total ET estimated by Eddie Kobalians.
3 minutes.
Okay. And I show you the horizontal 3D map of CETA distribution from the July 1st through September 9th, 24th. And near the soil surface, soil moisture content slightly decreased and then increased in September. However, the deeper soil layer below the 0.8 or 0.6, it was pretty dry. I didn't show the density profile in this presentation, but because of dense rock, so soil moisture storage capacity was less in the deeper layer. Okay, let me summarize my talk using this diagram. I measure the ETEC, which is the total water loss from the glade, and to the amount of water loss, I calculated the evapotranspiration water loss above the 0.6 meter. It was 62% of the total. However, in the soil layer between 0.6 and 1.6 meter, the contribution was less than 1%. But the question is the difference of these two components, which implies the water coming from the below the 1.6 meter. To explain this, I'm trying to figure out the footprint analysis to determine the how much water ET signal is coming from my research site. So I'd like to thank you, Mr. John Bach, who is maintaining my research site, and this research was supported by National Institute for Climate Change Research. Thank you.
Just one quick question, if there is one.
Don't you have a lot of interception of rainfall? Any covariance would be picking up, but not your water balance approach?
Interception was, I guess, occurs. I didn't mention this, but yes. Right now, I don't know, but I know the several publications. It's through fall and subflow, and yes.
Okay, thanks again.
Thank you.